The holidays are already in full swing. The lights are up, you got good people, good food, and good vibes. And there to help keep that energy going is Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry. With that crisp cranberry flavor with a smooth winter spice twist. It's the drink that livens up game nights, gift exchanges, or just catching up in the kitchen with a burst of holiday flavor. It's a seasonal favorite, but it's only here for a limited time. So grab it while you can. Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry. Sprite. Obey your thirst.
Hey, fam.
Hey.
You guys, we really, really did not mean to take this week off.
No, it's my fault.
Tell them what happened, girl.
You guys, I'm a podcaster, right?
Yeah.
As you know. I got the laryngitis.
It was real bad.
It was horrible. I couldn't. For those of you, I've never had it before.
I have.
And I kept saying to Mike and Patrick, now that I could speak, that just like it felt like there was this like force field in my throat that my voice just like couldn't get around.
Uh-huh.
You can hear it a little now still.
Yeah. I can hear it.
But it was really, I couldn't speak above a whisper, but I watched everything like planning that we were going to record.
Yeah.
And Mike was like, that's adorable that you think you can speak. Like you can't even say yes or no to me. You're like shaking your head. Not like I was texting Mike.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
You guys,
so I'm sorry, and thank you so much for understanding.
We were going to take a week off of, like, no show, no rerun in June. Now we're not going to do that.
Right.
We're going to make a show. June's an insane month for us.
It
We've
is.
Got PodX, CrimeCon, and our live show, and the Pride Tours that day. We're doing it. We're going to not take a week off in June anyway. We're going to get it done for you because we love you.
Yep.
Also, I recorded another intro that you're about to hear with another famous podcast person.
Ooh,
no spoilers.
No,
you're going to have to just keep listening to see who it is. And we love you, and I'm so glad you feel better.
Thank you so much. And really, thank you guys for understanding. I know like it totally threw us for a loop.
Yeah.
Us professionally and us with the podcast. So I appreciate everyone's time. And look, that can never happen to me again.
I
thought it was good. I was like, what do I do? I thought it was over.
Yeah.
I thought everything was over.
You were me. All of a sudden the world was coming to an end.
Yeah, the car was just stopped and broken down and exploded. I couldn't even turn around. That's how I felt.
Well, I love you.
I love you.
Okay, let's get to the other person introduction.
Oh my goodness.
Bye.
Fangirling.
Jillian Pensavalle.
That's not me.
Da-da-da. Wait a minute. What? Wait, who are you?
This is Ashley Flowers.
Ah, you guys, it's Ashley Flowers from Crime Junkie.
In your apartment.
We're in my bedroom.
Yeah.
You guys, here is the deal. Jillian is super sick this week. She can't talk. Girl, welcome.
Thank you.
Listen, I twisted Ashley's arm into doing this intro. You guys, we're replaying Tabloid, one of our favorite episodes.
Oh, so good. This is where you guys had the like actual like chloroform comes out in your trailer. That's how I started listening to you.
Yes.
It isn't a more perfect episode.
You're
totally gonna love it.
Like me, chloroform came out when it was 16 years old. Girl, I'm so happy to have you here.
I love it.
You guys also join our Patreon. We're doing Lorena right now. You get our episode by episode coverage of Serial, The Staircase, Making Murderer, The Jinx. Do you enjoy the
You guys, I have been in their Patreon since day one. I have listened to every Patreon episode since you did Queen of Versailles, like, day one. The content, I don't know how you guys, I know what it takes to put out content. I don't know how you do it every week.
Oh.
You guys will not, this is the best $5 I've ever spent in my whole life.
I'm obsessed with you. Thank you for doing this intro.
Will you do
the outro with us too? Will you say goodbye at the end?
Oh, duh.
Okay. You guys, enjoy Tabloid.
Enjoy.
Okay, bye. Jillian Pensavalle.
Patrick Hines.
That was so unplanned.
Oh, thanks.
Girl, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about Tabloid. I mean, I don't know, where do we even start with Joyce McKinney and this crazy, insane insanity?
Once upon a time, there was a little princess, the most beautiful little princess in all the land.
Kinky sex, religion, a beauty queen, Mormon missionaries, kidnapped at gunpoint. There was something in that story for everyone. It was a perfect tabloid story.
When I met my crook, it was like in the movies, when Juliet looks at Romeo and it's pew.
She had fallen in love with him and become obsessed by him.
The next thing I know, he vanished into thin air. I found him in England. The Mormons had him.
Joyce set up this plan.
I knew there was only one way to get Kirk out of Mormonism, and that was to make love with him. Kirk and I went to this cottage. We made love for 3 days. It was like a honeymoon.
This bizarre story began here last Wednesday. A young Mormon missionary was kidnapped, driven to a house, blindfolded, and his legs shackled.
I couldn't believe it. It was just like shock.
It was in all the papers.
Were you surprised to be put in prison?
I really didn't feel I'd done anything wrong.
Scenario number one, fake gun, chloroform, tied up, sexual impropriety. Second version is Joyce's story. The Mormons get him, brainwash him, and all of a sudden he's claiming rape.
A guy either wants to have sex or he doesn't. That's like putting a marshmallow in a parking meter.
The British Isles was on fire with the Joyce McKinney story.
I was a celebrity.
She was having the time of her life. Disguises and wigs.
Worms crawl out of the woodwork when you become famous.
They had a tip, 38, 24, 36. Your fantasy is her speciality.
The press went crazy.
They said I was a whore.
Oh, my heck, as they say in Utah.
She went barking mad. She disappeared a day later.
It's not a porno story like these crazy newspapers have tried to make. It's a love story.
You know, you can tell a lie long enough till you believe it.
All right, can you introduce us to our sort of hero?
She's,
I mean,
she's the star. Just ask her, she'll tell you.
What is her name?
Joyce McKinney.
Tell us about Joyce McKinney.
Well, Joyce McKinney started dating late in life. She's putting that accent on, is she not?
Right before she put on that wig.
Oh, snap. You guys, we are off and running. Welcome to True Crime Obsessed. So we start, like, it's a very sensational, it's done in a very sensational way.
It's Errol Morris, who's just a genius.
Yeah, so it's called Tabloid, and he's, like, doing that 100%. And
totally.
The style of it is great and
it's
whatever.
It's really great,
so
yeah.
We open on this like, video of her in the 70s reading her own book.
Oh, my God. It is
in the third person.
Yeah.
Someday, she would find her kind, handsome prince, and he would sweep her up on a big, white horse, and he would take her away and marry her, and they would live happily ever after. Hi, I'm Joyce McKinney, and that's from my pending book, A Very Special Love Story.
And then we cut to, like, present-day Joyce, who is totally putting on that accent, tells us that she has a 168 IQ.
I love that Errol Morris off camera is like, how high was that IQ, though?
Come on. And we hear him often, so I'm shocked we didn't hear him be like, really?
Started dating very late in life. Didn't start dating until I was, like, 17. Was in an accelerated program. For kids with high IQs.
How high was your IQ?
168.
So we learn about Joyce. We learn that she was like, if she said All American one more time, I was going to blow my gay head off.
Yeah. And she hadn't been around much until she went to Utah.
Right.
Like, that's the, like... Usually you say, like, I haven't really been around, and then I went to Spain.
Right, totally.
And then she went to Utah.
Utah.
I hadn't been out in the world much till I went to Utah. You know, I hadn't been around much.
She met a good friend named Marilyn Clark. Was there anything Marilyn Clark wouldn't do?
No, not a single solitary thing, according to Joyce.
There wasn't anything Marilyn didn't do. Smoke, drink, have sex with Hell's Angels. I mean, this is a wild child. We were exact opposites. She used to call me Holler and Thou McKinney because I was so straight.
But, and then it's, you're looking at it and you're like, Joyce, are you trying to act like you're that's what you're trying to do, aren't you? From
right.
The very beginning, that you're this wholesome all-American, sorry,
yeah,
I have to say
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
You know, she wanted a real special man or whatever.
And that's the
fuck
whole thing
said.
Where, like, people kept saying that, like, you can have any man you want. You can have any man you want. She's like, well, I know that.
Yeah. But I want a special guy.
I want a special guy. Exactly.
18 wise. Like, all right.
But there were a lot of men attracted to you.
Well, I guess so. I don't know. I'm not that vain, and I'd say. But I was looking. I wasn't looking for just any guy. I wanted a special guy. I wanted a special guy.
She says that her professor introduced her to all these Mormons. And then she's like,
this was
no
the
one,
weirdest thing.
No one tell me about Mormons, y'all. Right. They thought, you know, they went to a church, but they made me think they were church and family oriented, but really they just want their own planet. I was a moth to a flame. And I'm like,
is this accent going to be the whole time?
No.
They didn't tell me what Mormonism was all about. He didn't say we're a group that believes that Jesus was a polygamist and was married to Mary Magdalene. He didn't say we believe that God lives on a star named Clolob. He didn't say we believe that black people were cursed with the mark of Cain. They made me think they were a church.
So she was like, you know, she was really into these clean cut guys because she wants really, she wants us to think that she's clean cut and all American. And so right. that was who she
yeah,
wanted.
Exactly.
So when she sees these Mormons, she's like, oh my God.
Tell me everything.
But she doesn't know at this point they are what she is referring to as a cult.
Right. Yeah.
And so she has this big old sheepdog and this Corvette.
Right.
And she's driving in the Corvette and then someone else pulls up in his Corvette right. and it turns out to be Kirk and they have this stupid conversation about yeah. like, how's your Corvette? Fine. How's your Corvette? Fine. How's yours? Do you want to get in? And it's just like, how many times are you asking each other about the Corvette?
They have a Corvette off.
They do.
And he pulled him beside me and cleared his throat. And he goes, like your car. I go, thanks. I like yours too. He goes, I really like yours better. Like, I want to drive it.
The funny thing about what's happening while she's like talking about how cute he is that we get it like cut with this, like one of those like tabloid reporters from London, Peter Tory.
It's the Daily Express.
Peter Tory is literally like, he was big and fat and flabby.
Yeah, he says flabby, not athletic. He was very big.
Cut to Joyce and she's like, he was my dream, like just like a dream to her.
Right.
Kirk Anderson was a very big, rather flabby, 300 pound, 6 foot three, not athletic or attractive looking man in the accepted sense of the word, who had a very shuffly kind of walk. The last person in the world that you think would be the object of this kind of strange sexual passion.
And this is the beginning of the juxtaposition. It's like Joyce's side right, and then reality.
Right, exactly. So Kirk takes her home to meet his Mormon mother. And how did that go?
Oh, not well.
And I remember he took me home to meet his Mormon mother, and she was this big, oh, huge woman, about 350 pounds in a tent dress, and she took one look at me with my little beauty queen figure, and her eyes went up, and her eyes went down, and she goes, she doesn't look like a Mormon to me.
This is also a woman who's like, I don't want attention at all.
Right.
Look at me while I'm demanding I don't want any attention. This is my better side when I demand I don't want any attention. Like... She's, and you know, Joyce tries to use the I'm too pretty argument. That's why nobody likes her. And it's
right.
like, look, Mormons are very set in their ways. They
yeah.
want, you know, they're no caffeine, no this, no that. Like, they are very strict. So
yeah.
you come along in your Corvette and like talking about how you're a beauty queen.
Right.
She's talking about how much she's a beauty queen now.
Right. I
imagine
know.
When she was 19. Come on.
Right.
So the mother was probably like, who, what on, what my heck? Like, no.
That
cheese
is my
and
favorite.
Rice.
We're going to get to this like weird gay ex-Mormon.
Troy?
Yeah, we're going to get to him in a minute, but he does introduce us to the expression.
Oh my heck.
Oh my heck.
Y'all.
Oh my heck, as they say in Utah.
They immediately decide to get married.
According to Joyce.
According to Joyce.
On the very first night they meet, he says he loves her.
Uh-huh.
And then on the second night, he proposes marriage.
Right.
And she's like, okay, yes, let's do this.
Right. And she hears their first fight, everybody.
Right.
She wants to get married in a Christian church.
Right.
He wants to get married in a Mormon church.
Or she says he's getting pressure to do the other one. She like doesn't even say it by name.
Right. And then one day, Kirk, poof, evaporates into thin air. And Kirk Anderson, as we know him, is gone.
Kirk and I were just ready for the big wedding and everything was happy. The only problem is I was wanting to get married in the Christian church and he was getting pressure from the other side. And so one day he vanished into thin air.
Now she makes a very clear point that he vanished. What did he not do?
Leave her for anyone else. Leave her for a non-beauty queen. Leave her for a Mormon. Leave her for someone who didn't have two good sides like
right.
she clearly does. Leave her for someone who doesn't want attention.
I don't mean he left me. I don't mean he abandoned me. I don't mean he left me for another woman. I mean he evaporated into thin air.
And now this is really where the story starts to become like a what really happened. Because what's the gay kid's name? Troy?
Troy.
Troy, we meet Troy soon, and he's talking about, like, the mission and how, like, every Mormon boy all of their life is told that they're going to go on a mission, and that's their calling. That's what they have to do.
You had Book of Mormon stuck in your head, too, right?
Yes.
Where will I go on my mission? That's it.
All young men in the church, from the time that we're young boys, we're indoctrinated to prepare to go on a mission. We sing songs like, I hope they call me on a mission. You leave as a boy, you come back as a man.
A couple of things could have happened. He could have, like, just left on his mission and been like, this girl's crazy. I don't love her anymore. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know how to tell her that I have to go do this thing. Or he could have told, like, there's so many ways this could actually have gone down.
Right. Especially if they only knew each other 2 days. Like, this mission could have been planned for months.
Right. So Kirk is gone and she decides she's going to move somewhere and get a job and hire a private investigator to find him. Somehow she picks Los Angeles. We have we don't know why, but she, like, moves to Los Angeles where she says she gets.
You know why?
Why?
Because LA, she's a starlet.
Right.
Come on.
But she never says it like that. She's like, I moved to LA and I worked 3 jobs to pay for a private investigator to find him.
Yeah, we'll find out what those jobs are a little later, you guys.
And where do they find him, Jillian?
In the UK, quote, kidnapped by the Mormons. Well,
the private investigator found him in England. The Mormons had him.
So he has gone to the UK to do his mission. And Joyce assembles a team of people.
Well, she tries her damnedest.
To go to England with her and, quote, save him.
So first in our cast of characters, KJ.
Right.
A.K.A. Keith Joseph May.
A.K.A.
This bitch. Unclear. Unclear.
I had a really good friend from Torrance, California. He was an architect. His name was Keith Joseph May. Everybody called him KJ. KJ was like my big brother. And he said to me, I don't want you going over there to England by yourself. Said, you don't know what they're going to do to you.
Errol says, right, you know, in the tabloid font, accomplice. And you're like, oh, shit.
I know, totally. Right.
So he goes with Joyce to the UK. We don't have his side of the story because, unfortunately, he died in 2004. But what they do is they put an ad in the paper for bodyguards.
Oh, my God. This ad is unreal.
Can I read it? Because I wrote it all out.
Yes.
Here is the want ad, you guys. It is out of control. In caps, free trip to Europe. Parentheses, big adventurous dude wanted. Must be WM, which means white male.
Oh, is that what that means?
I Googled it. W/M, white
Thank
male.
Thank God for Urban Dictionary.
Right? Over 6'2", at least 210 pounds. Seeking a Rocky or Mr. Atlas type. Prefer bodybuilder or musician. Ready? This is where you're just like, what on earth is this? All expenses paid if you help a lovely fox fulfill a unique romantic sexual fantasy as part of her wedding party. Must be available August and September. Serious replies only. Leave a message for Heidi K.
Oh my God.
And once we hit musician, it goes off the rails. Bodybuilder or musician, all expenses paid if you help a lovely fox fulfill a unique romantic sexual fantasy for her wedding party.
I know. They talk here about how they go to Gold's Gym. They hire, like, bodyguards. They get a pilot. Like,
yeah. So the pilot, well, first, real quick, Gil Parker is who shows up for the ad.
Oh, my God.
And within a week, he's like, I'm out. So yeah. Gil Parker, he finally got some sense knocked into him. And another ad they put in the paper was for, like, a pilot. short trips to England. I'm like, what the hell's a short trip? Like,
I know.
Weekend trips or whatever. So Jackson Shaw answers their ad.
I love Jackson Shaw. And by the way, we will see a picture of him eventually, and he was a fox back then.
And he had a thing for Joyce.
I was interested in something a little bit more exciting than what I was doing. I saw an ad in the newspaper. They wanted a pilot to fly short trips in England. And that sounded kind of interesting to me. So I called the phone number and a gentleman answered and an appointment was made for the following week. I was expecting to go to an office or something like that, but it turned out to be an apartment building.
She was wearing a see-through blouse. He said that about 18 times. More time about the see-through blouse,
I know.
Jackson.
He had to go to her apartment for his interview.
I was taken in by a gentleman by the name of Keith. And after I was there for a few minutes, why, Joyce came out.
Tell me about that first meeting.
Well, I was favorably impressed. She had a totally see-through blouse on. I can even remember the color. It was a light brown, totally see-through blouse.
No bra.
No bra, see-through blouse.
I mean, it's just the whole thing is a bunch of shenanigans.
And the thing that Jackson tells us is that she is super charming.
Yes.
Maybe it was a see-through blouse. I don't know. But she does tell him this story. You know, I was in love. I was going to get married. Mormons kidnapped the love of my life. And they took him away. And I need help. And will you help me? This is the story that
no
she's telling everybody.
No matter what happens, no matter what actually happened, she believes that this is what happened.
At least, especially today. Yeah. I don't know. Then she might. I guess she had to believe it. Why would you go through all that if you didn't, right?
So they actually. So this cast of characters. Joyce, Gil, Jackson, and KJ get on a flight. They go to London because they are going to rescue him. And they, as soon as they get to customs, Gil, the bodyguard, gets pulled out of line, gets totally freaked out.
Then they get to the hotel, and out comes all of the hidden audio equipment.
Right.
And they took out wireless microphone and listening devices. It was something you could probably just have carried through customs, but they had it inside of a portable radio. Well, when Gil seen this, that about did it for him. That was when he called me outside and said he wanted to go back the next day.
And Gil is like, I am out of here. There's a Gil-shaped hole in the door, and it's gigantic because he's a bodyguard, and Gil is out. And that's the end of Gil. Bye, Gil. Gil is fine. So they wanted to find, everyone's like, are we going to find Kirk? And then, so they find him, they go to like a church and they find him there. And then Jackson's like, so we're sitting in the car, out comes the chloroform, out comes the fake gun. And Jackson's like, what? And that's when Jackson's out. So Jackson leaves.
We're across in front of a building, out come two young men dressed in suits, a tie and a white shirt. And she told me, there is Kirk. Well, I was totally surprised. This was nobody being held captive. And that's when Joyce kind of leveled with me. She showed me a bottle of chloroform, and I'd already seen this phony gun they had. I was going to be no part of any of this. And I told her that.
I just have a lot of questions about chloroform,
out
you guys.
Out comes the chloroform. Can you imagine? It has the skull and crossbones on every bottle, right? It has to. And it comes with a little rag, right? The dirty rag that's been used way too many times. Like, and then the bottle's half empty always, right? Keith goes into this church pretending that he wants to be a Mormon to like bait Kirk. Keith is like, but I want to talk to you about it outside. And they're like, okay.
Right.
But I don't know if they use the chloroform or not. And we never hear from Kirk because I guess you forget if you've been chloroformed. I don't know.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Then you hear Joyce's side of it. And Joyce's side of it is that KJ goes in and finds Kirk and is like, Kirk, Joyce is in the car. And Kirk is like, great, we're out of here.
I waited and KJ went in because they're not supposed to be in the room alone with girls. So KJ went in and said, Joyce is in the car. And Kirk turned around and he threw the keys to his companion and said, I've got to go out in the car and get something. I'll be right back.
And once Kirk is in the car, we get introduced to Kirk 1 and Kirk 2.
Right.
So first, Joyce says that he was very animated. Oh my God, Joyce is in the car. I need to get there. And then she says that when he's in the car, he's monotone and like, they wouldn't let me see you. And
right.
I'm like, wait, so
they
was he excited?
Didn't
like,
love me anymore.
Was he a normal person who was excited to see you, or was he a robot who has been brainwashed?
Totally.
It was like he had a personality alteration. Kirk number 1 and Kirk number 2. Kirk number 1 was the man I fell in love with. Kirk number 2 was Cult Kirk.
They drive like 2.5 hours to this little town called Devon, where there's like a cabin.
Right.
So they get to this cabin, and it's just like, we get so many different versions of this story.
How'd you find this place?
Well, I was looking for someplace peaceful, where he could normalize. Someplace where he could come back to Kirk number 1. I had a big fireplace, patchwork quilt, silk sheets, blue to match his eyes with his initials on it, cinnamon oil back rub, because he loved my back rubs, and all his favorite foods in the fridge.
And then we hear from Peter, the journalist for the Daily Express.
According to all the reports of the time, he was driven 250 miles to a cottage in Devon. She had a suitcase full of all the equipment required, including, I gather, some Los Angeles Police Department Smith & Wesson handcuffs.
Because he says the thing, he was like, he was tied up. You know, Joyce says ropes, but chained up just makes for a better story. So he was chained to the bed.
He was taken in and chained to... Joyce claims it was ropes, not chains, but chain sounds better. Anyway.
And I'm like, I kind of love how they're just like, it's trashier this way. And so these are the facts. It's just trashier this way. It's better. I oddly respect that, where it's like, girl, you know what?
I know.
Someone's got to make the papers.
And he says that, like, at first they had him tied by the feet so that he could go to the bathroom, but then they had to, like, what's the word?
Spread eagle.
Spread eagle, this
the
guy.
The spread eagle.
Right,
and
exactly.
Peter says it. He was like, oh, isn't that such a great bondage word, spread eagle? And I'm like, Peter.
He was allegedly chained to a bed, first by his ankle, so that he could actually reach the toilet. The chain was long enough for him to get to the toilet. Subsequently, with the help of Keith May, was spread eagled. Spread eagled, which is a wonderful bondage word, was spread eagled to the bed. And Keith May discreetly left the room at this point, I think, closed the door behind him, and Joyce had sex with him.
And now, according to, I guess what we'll call, like, not Joyce's side of the story,
right,
is that she had sex with Kirk repeatedly, and she was going to continue to do this until she got pregnant.
Correct.
So now we're going to flip into all the puppies and rainbows and the singing.
Right, so this is Joyce's
with all
version.
The animals that help her get dressed in the morning.
Oh,
and
my
this
God.
Is her
and it's
story.
Just too much. Like, this whole story is just too much.
If they're playing house.
Right.
And they start dancing, and he gets turned on.
He got turned on as we were dancing. I'll be blunt. He had an erection, okay? And, we sat down in the bed and he said, can you give me a back rub?
Right. So she goes to give him a back rub and she discovers the Mormon undergarments.
They literally call it magic underwear.
Yeah. And Troy explains to us that the underwear, the garments are meant to actually protect you from evil.
Yeah.
There's folk stories galore, legends of the temple garment protecting people from harm. The hooks, the psychic hooks of the temple are so high and so deep that even people who don't go to church anymore, they still wear them. Because in the back of their mind, like, what if I don't wear them? And then Satan's got me.
She literally rips the fake underwear, the magic underwear off of him.
Because she doesn't want anything ugly in her honeymoon
cottage.
And
it smells, and we're like, we get it, Joyce.
Yeah, and
boys
she,
are disgusting.
She burned them.
I kind of loved this moment where she's like,
and, you ripped off his magic underwear
and I threw them in the fireplace where they belonged. Where they should put them all, as far as I'm concerned.
I was like, damn, girl.
Damn, girl.
I know.
So then Joyce goes on to say that Kirk is impotent because of the brainwashing.
Right.
She feels the need to spell out that word.
Impotence. I-M-P-O-T-E-N-C.
And the only way to break that spell was to have sex with him.
Right.
That's how she's doing. She had no choice, you guys. He was brainwashed. The only thing she could do is forcibly have sex with him, also known as rape him.
Right. Exactly.
Because for a Mormon missionary to have a love affair is totally taboo. They can't be in a room alone with a girl without their companion with them. to even shake hands. So if it took giving up my virginity in a romantic moonlit college, so be it. I just wanted him out of that cult.
So they start getting into it. Kirk freaks out.
Yeah.
And Joyce
starts like speaking in tongues and like screaming words
Joyce's
in the Book
impression.
Of Mormon.
Joyce is also like, she's super rude and disrespectful. She's a nightmare.
Yeah.
We started to make love, and all of a sudden he jumps up on the bed like this, and he goes, "By the law of the holy prophet Joseph Smith, I cannot touch my bodies or the bodies of others in a natural experimental way. By the law of the holy prophet, hold a Book of Mormon firmly in hand. Sing a Mormon song. Sing a Mormon song."
So Kirk ends up having a nice time to completion.
To completion. The thing is, at one point, because there's all this talk about how, like, she raped him. Did she not rape him? And then Errol Morris asks her straight up,
"Do you think a woman can rape a man?"
And you guys, she... Jillian's face. She has the most ridiculous and amazing and, like, visually satisfying answer.
You guys just heard it in the trailer. But yeah. Let's hear it again.
"No. I think that's like putting a marshmallow in a parking meter. A guy either wants to have sex or he doesn't. He has an erection or he doesn't."
She's an asshole. Yeah. Like, that absolutely can happen, Joyce, and everyone listening. That is a thing. That is a thing. And she, for her to just be like, "Oh, please."
Right.
Is awful.
So I gotta tell you, I know you hate her. I kind of love her. I do kind of love her.
If she didn't rape somebody and kidnap them then, like, believe it and try to act like the victim here, I'm sure she'd be a fun time at a party. You know she has Black Beauties and Scotch on her at all times.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Okay, so back to the cottage and poor, confused, maybe sexually assaulted Kirk. What's the gay guy's name again?
Troy.
Troy presents to us at some point in this movie three possible scenarios. Mm-hmm. Joyce's version, the version that we're going to hear Kirk tell in court, which is basically that she forced him and she raped him and it was against his will the whole time. Uh-huh. And then, like, the third version, which is somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm. The third scenario is something in between. There was a consensual aspect to his getaway with her. But then somewhere along the line, he had second thoughts and he wanted it to stop and it didn't.
Yeah, I'm in Team Troy with this.
I'm in Team Troy with this too, except for the fact that then, like, the next day or two or whatever, they actually get on the train and they go to London.
We went into town, to London, and we saw Trafalgar Square. They had, like, pigeons. We fed the pigeons. And so I said, "Oh, Kirk, we've got this cool cafe we want to take to. It's called the Hard Rock Cafe."
They're walking around in public, and she's like, she calls them bobbies.
She has, like, no time for the police in the UK.
She says there's police everywhere.
And there were cops running around everywhere. What do they call them, bobbies or whatever? British cops. If Kirk felt kidnapped, at any time, he could have said, hey, this little pint-sized girl here has me kidnapped. Can you please help me, Ossifer? But he didn't.
This pint-sized girl is holding me against my will.
We get it. You have an itty-bitty waist, okay? We get it. First of all, he knows that this woman, there's chloroform involved. There's a gun. Right. There is a brute. She was capable of kidnapping him and tying him up and restraining him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what she's capable of. So then Kirk wants to get the newspaper. So he gets the newspaper and, like, his kidnapping is all over the paper.
Right.
Slam that newspaper down on the table. He's white as a ghost. It was so shocking. It sounded like Scotland Yard was after us or something. And I'm sitting there with my, quote, kidnapped victim eating a burger.
And then Kirk says, well, I have an idea.
Yeah.
I'll go home by myself.
And I'll tell them that I'm fine and I will handle this.
By myself, but you stay here.
But you guys stay here.
I'll get on a train that's going to go a zillion miles an hour in the opposite direction and you guys stay here. And I will back away slowly with my hands up and I'll go away.
Kirk. And Joyce is like, okay, cool.
Joyce.
But
she's bad at kidnapping too.
As soon as she lets him go at Victoria Station, she does have a moment of panic.
KJ and I turned and walked away and he goes, don't worry, he'll be okay. The dude loves you. You got the man you love. What you worried about? I says, I don't know, KJ. Some nagging feeling, I'm worried.
So he goes back and of course, completely denounces the whole situation.
Right. Okay, now here's a twist.
Okay.
The phone message.
Right. They've been out of touch. So all she knows is that Kirk has gone back and is now renouncing her.
And the press is all over it.
Yeah.
It's a handwritten message from Kirk that she had an answering service. Joyce had an answering service and Kirk called.
I got this weird phone call. I had an answering service. It said, it's been really crazy here, but I finally got him off my back. I still love you. Call me urgent. Epson 25724. Urgent.
So could she have written this message herself?
Right,
absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she calls and she's like, and some Mormon answered.
Right. She pretends to be, who does she pretend to be?
Some woman asking for a baptism for Millie, who's her dog.
Right. And they pick a rendezvous point.
Right.
So now the idea is that she is going to meet him somewhere and they're going to go off to their wedding. So now the KJ and Joyce are in the car. They're driving to meet him.
Well, she's singing I'm Getting Married in the Morning. Right. She's in a cupcake of a wedding dress in the car. So now, I mean, Kirk probably set her up with that message.
Yeah, I totally think that's what happened. Yeah.
And so now the cops run KJ and Joyce off the road.
These cop cars ran us off the road. They just literally edged us off the road. And then when they threw us up against the police car and said, you're under arrest for false imprisonment and carrying away Kirk Anderson, I couldn't believe it. It was just shock.
And there is this tabloid photo that you cannot stage. It's so perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in this huge, poofy wedding dress, tears and mascara running down her face.
I know.
Reaching, trying to break free from the cops. It is.
It's tragic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So now they arrest her.
Okay.
And now, so that was on September 19th, 1977, what Joyce thought was going to be her anniversary.
Oh, God.
So now cut to December 7th, 1977. This is her bail hearing and the whole planet's there.
There was standing room only. There were little old ladies with their shopping carts oogling for places to stand. The banners outside, free Joyce, free Joyce.
And she puts on quite a performance.
Yeah.
So the lawyer is probably just doing appropriate talk for a lawyer. And Joyce is here she is, world. Here's Rose. And she basically does this razzle dazzle Billy Flynn from 40 Chicago.
40-minute monologue, which we learn after the fact. We see a TV reporter who's like,
for 55 minutes, Miss McKinney poured out her statement to an occasionally confused magistrate. At one point, he stopped her and said, I'm lost. And Miss McKinney, speaking in a North Carolina drawl, put the whole case in this way. Referring to the young Mormon, Kirk Anderson, she said, he put me in prison to save himself from excommunication and family disgrace. This was a phony kidnap, according to Miss McKinney. Referring to the episode down in the Devon cottage, she said, we had 3 days of fun, food, and sex.
She talked for 45 minutes, often confusing the magistrates.
Yeah.
At one point, they had to stop her and say, I'm lost.
And And in her, she's like, thank God for those drama lessons. She's like, I had them laughing. I had them crying. She says she had them throwing spitballs at the Mormons. Joyce, you most certainly did not.
She might have a Patrick Hines quality of embellishing a story.
A little bit. She would have skied down Mount Everest nude with a carnation in her nose.
She said, and that becomes like a whatever. She's out of her mind.
Yeah, it becomes a cartoon in all the tabloids.
And the thing that happens is that then, like, when it's Kirk's turn to testify, he basically is like, yeah, no, I didn't want to be there. She forced me.
Right.
And her take on that is like, no, he looked at the main Mormon guy and was like, you will say what we rehearsed.
I want him to be strong and say, yes, I love her and I'm going to tell the truth right now and let's get rid of this. But he was so scared. You know, you can tell a lie long enough till you believe it.
So she goes to jail.
Right, but here's the thing. This is when the tabloids go nuts. So she puts on this performance, right, and she basically turns herself into a trashy celebrity.
Right.
Back in the 70s.
Right.
And Peter, of course, is like, there's something in the story for everyone. There's sex. Right. There's kidnapping. I mean, he is foaming at the mouth.
I mean, it had kinky sex, it had religion, it had a beauty queen, kidnap at gunpoint, chains being spread-eagled, it had Mormon missionaries. And there was something in that story for everyone. It was a perfect tabloid story.
Okay, so after like this court date, she goes to jail for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets let out.
Yeah, KJ pays the bill.
Right, totally.
With her endless flow of money.
Oh my God, somebody sends a limo to the jail.
It's unbelievable.
And she's like a celebrity now.
But I don't want nobody look at me. Don't I look great? But nobody look at me.
Right, exactly. So she starts doing like a press junket. She becomes like a celebrity.
She's like, I'm already writing on my book. You're just like. If you don't want anyone to pay attention to you, stop asking for attention.
She's like, I'm returning fan letters. I'm doing interviews.
So what have these last few months been like for you?
Well, I've been very busy. It's been amazing the way the public has responded to my case. I got close to 1,000 letters from the British public. The rest of the time that I'm not answering letters or something of this nature, I'm working on my book.
Then she gets invited to, like, crazy parties. She gets invited to the opening night party for Saturday Night Fever.
You guys. Johnny Travolta was
there. She calls him Johnny Travolta.
Johnny Travolta. The Bee Gees were dancing with her. Keith Moon to meet her and kissed her in front of his girlfriend.
I know.
Keith Moon, he was the drummer for The Who, spied me. And he told one of the reporters, I want to meet the girl. He was with his girlfriend. I mean, there was nothing between me and Keith. But he came over and he says, Joycey girl, I'm going to give you a big old smooch. And he just kissed me.
But then she also gets invited to the premiere of a movie called The Stud.
Because Peter's editor tells him,
right,
get Joyce, hire Rolls Royce, take her to the premiere of The Stud and upstage Joan Collins.
Which they totally
did. And Errol's like, can you really do that? And Peter's like, we did. He turns into Tim Curry.
He stepped out of this Rolls Royce and all the press went mad. I mean, it was as if, Marilyn Monroe got out of the Queen. I mean, certainly more excitement than when Joan Collins got out of her limousine.
So she is, like, fully famous.
And then they fled. Don't say the word fled.
I never fled. Don't use the word fled. I resent the word fled. I left.
Her and KJ left the country in disguise, but they didn't flee.
You guys, this story, when I listened to this story this afternoon, watching this before Jillian got here, all I could imagine was having this part of this conversation with you.
It's happening. Are you ready?
Take us through it, please, Jillian.
So they get death certificates of two dead people.
Which she says, I don't think they'll mind.
I went and I got the birth certificates of two dead people. I didn't figure they'd mind.
How do you do that?
I could never do any
of this. And then she put on a fat suit. You know, like in Norbit.
I put on a granny wig and I made me a fat suit. You know what a fat suit is, like in Norbit. I said, Keith, we're going home.
So they wore wigs, changed each other's complexion.
But then what did they find out?
Well, then she reads, I don't know where she reads it. She finds out somewhere that there is a deaf acting troupe traveling around.
I found out there was a troupe of deaf actors going to the States via Canada. Well, let me tell you, I put some little signs on us, and it said, I am deaf, but I can lip read. Please enunciate your words slowly and speak clearly.
So she's traveling with her 13 suitcases, plus all the emotional baggage. And she gets through customs. Now, when it's one person or two people with 13, you're just like, what, girl? So she gets through customs by writing down on a piece of paper, I tired. May I go now, please?
And she goes, oh, you're deaf. Okay, we cannot get our interpreter at night. And she's talking louder and louder. She gives me a pencil and I write down, I tired. May I go now, please? Lady goes, go on.
And she makes it home. She gets home.
Right. And then she decides that she calls Peter when she gets to wherever she is, and she wants to sell the story to the Daily Express for £40,000.
Right.
I did some Googling.
Uh-huh.
After converting that to dollars and seeing like what it would be now, that was about $285,000 today.
Oh my God.
Today, that's how much it would be.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
But the story that she feeds Peter is like the Joyce version of this movie. It's all of the lies or whatever. It's all of the very soft version of this, that like she was in love and they kidnapped him and she went to save him and they fall for it hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
And giving us all this nonsense, which is a totally sanitized version of the truth. And we were falling for it, of course, getting it all onto these little tape recorders and thinking, God, hasn't the Express got a great story here?
So, but also at the same time, like this rival trashy tabloid.
The Daily Mirror.
The Daily Mirror is in LA digging up dirt on her.
Kent Gavin, the photographer, doing all
Kent.
This.
The Daily Mirror had meantime had their reporters in Los Angeles digging up all this stuff about her activities as a... I suppose she was. I mean, she was being paid for sexual services. But this was all long before her escapades in the UK.
So he realizes that she was a call girl.
How does he get this information?
From Steve Moskowitz, her ex-boyfriend.
Her ex-boyfriend, who sings like a canary.
At first he doesn't.
Right.
And then Kent's like, I can get you alone in a hotel room with Joyce. And so right. Steve's like, okay.
Once he told me that he was still madly in love with her, I said, look, Steve, if you want to be at her side for the trial at the Old Bailey, we will pay a first class air ticket for you and put you up in a hotel in London so you can be with her. The next morning, I'm in a hotel at Santa Monica, 8 o'clock in the morning, phone goes, Steve, I'm downstairs. He produced 6 strips of black and white contacts.
And then, like, well, eventually we'll hear Joyce's version of this. What happens is that this guy, Steve, is, like, just giving photos to the Daily Mirror of, like, at first they're, like, innocent photos. But then he, like, breaks into her stuff, gives them a phone bill full of photographers.
Right.
And then they hunt down these photographers, just all these nudie pictures.
And nobody knew who she was because she never used her name. They just knew her by the girl with the dog, with Millie.
Right, because she brought the dog with her everywhere.
Yeah.
But, like, what comes out of all of this is, like, all of these, like, topless nudie photos. And basically, the Mirror publishes all of it.
All of it.
So the Daily Mirror, basically, the same week that the Express publishes the story that Joyce gave them, like, basically all the lies about how great she is, the same week the Daily Mirror publishes the story about, like, how she was, like, a nudie, like, dominatrix call girl.
Right.
And Joyce goes berserk.
Yeah, she loses it.
Loses her mind. Like, she's in the room with some of these reporters. And
she was so appalled and enraged and distressed about all the stuff that the Mirror had been printing about her, because she had no idea this was going to happen at all. She just went crazy, went absolutely crazy. I mean, she was really scary, really scary. She appeared to kind of fly across the room, as far as I remember it, and clung onto the curtains, which partly came away on the rail. She was completely hysterical. Then she went for the balcony. I dived after and sort of grabbed her by the ankles. I don't know whether she was going to jump off, because if she had done, I think there were probably tourists on deck chairs underneath. She would have probably taken them out too. So it would have been very embarrassing, to say the least.
Then they take her to the hospital and they're like, oh, I thought they were going to give her a pill. They sedate her. Right. They shove a needle in her.
But then give her right back to these horrible men.
And then her father tries to give her a hug and she bites him and rips his skin off.
Yeah.
So, like, no one is doing well here.
Her father, this gentle man, came in with his wife and tried to put his arms around Joyce, and she just sunk her teeth into his forearm. And there was an awful kind of tussle, and he managed to get himself free, and there was blood trickling down his arm. He'd been attacked by a vampire.
And then she's all mad. She's like, everyone comes out of the woodwork when you're famous, y'all. Like, right. I just don't know. So it's like you're admitting your fate. Like, she's loving this.
But she's also fully denying that there is that any of those nudie pictures are real.
The sun put my head on another person's naked body, and she was flat-chested as a board. I mean, the girl was flat in her front. As you see, I'm not flat in my front.
Errol Morris is questioning this photographer, saying, mm-hmm. like, she's saying those pictures are doctored. And he's like, no, you can't doctor negatives. Like, I have the negatives, and you can't doctor those.
Well, her claim is, of course, that the pictures were doctored.
You don't doctor negatives. We had the negative, print, and a magazine. Get out of that, Joyce.
And Errol Morris was like, great, do you still have those? And he's like, well, actually...
Do you still have the photographs?
Unfortunately, only the pictures that were published in the Mirror at the time. The file, which was between 800 and 1,000 pictures, were all locked up in a safe. But unfortunately, the Mirror Group changed ownership. And along with a lot of other things, all that dossier went missing.
So that sort of, that part of the story sort of dies away. I don't know if like the charges are still pending in England.
Yeah, that was back in 77, 78. And then we just sort of cut to 1984.
Yeah, just like out of, Errol Morris is like, I have an Academy Award. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah, I just, enough with these crazy, insane
yeah.
people.
But 1984 is kind of crazy because what happens?
Well, my shoulders are up to my ears. Well, we find out that Joyce just stumbles upon Kurt and his, her words.
Oh my God.
Overweight Mormon wife.
The shade that she has for this man's wife is unreal.
Unreal.
Yeah.
For someone who doesn't want any judgment on her, she judges everybody.
You saw him in 1984?
Yeah. Yeah, I was at the airport and his overweight Mormon wife saw me and I guess she was disturbed. I was using the public airport. She went and called the police and said, oh, McKinney's here. Go get her.
And she's talking about how, like, she probably would have cried her eyes out if the woman had been beautiful.
She's thrilled that she's an overweight,
I know.
Not blonde, beauty queen. We get it, Joyce. Beauty queen, we get it.
I was kind of glad she was not too good looking. I mean, if she'd been really great looking, I would have probably felt really awful, you know, cried my eyes out. But it wasn't any competition, if you know what I mean. The only thing she had that I didn't have was 100 extra pounds, and she was a Mormon.
And what is Kirk doing for a living?
He's a doo-doo dipper. Again, Joyce's words.
What was his job at the airport?
I hate to say this, but he was a doo-doo dipper.
A doo-doo dipper?
Yeah.
What is a doo-doo dipper?
That's someone who takes the doo-doo off the back of the plane.
And then the thing is, the funny thing is, like, you, there are photographs of the time of Kirk coming out of a grocery store. Like, you actually do kind of see what Kirk looks like at the time.
Right. And then she gets arrested for stalking him.
Yeah. I mean, it's really not a good look, Joyce. It's, she is, like, she's legit stalking him.
She was found lurking outside his office. I think she was arrested for stalking him or something.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Now we get into her life in 1986 and her dogs.
So this is like a whole, the movie is almost over, but like it's like a whole new
movie. We
take
a sharp turn.
Yeah, we do.
And suddenly we're in 1986 in her home with these dogs. Look. I love talking about dogs.
Yeah.
I love stories about dogs. But immediately when there's a dog in a story or a movie, I'm like, does it die? What happens to the dog?
I know, what the hell?
So Joyce explains that she has what's called agoraphobia,
right.
Where she's just scared to be outside. That's a real thing. I'm not laughing at agoraphobia.
Totally.
I'm not at all. But now at this point, how many times have I said according to Joyce? It's like.
I finally got what's called agoraphobia. It's when you can't go out of the house. We had a big old farmhouse with a river on one side and woods on the other. And we thought that was like a natural barrier to paparazzi. But they would just put on fisherman boots and just wade right through that river.
So she gets this dog to protect her, and the dog gets stung by a bee. And she claims, according to Joyce, everybody drink, according to Joyce, the ladies at the vet thought it would be funny to poison the dog with the medicine.
It's because she says that they don't like her.
These two women that worked at the pharmacy, who didn't like me, decided that it'd just be a hoot to add a zero onto that prednisone prescription for Joyce McKinney's guard dog. Wouldn't that be funny? Probably drive him nutty, wouldn't it? Well, it drove him more than nutty.
They say that it causes the dog to go insane, literally rip Joyce limb from limb, rip her intestines out, rip her stomach lining.
You guys, I'm laughing because it's so crazy.
Leave her for dead.
I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. I'm laughing because, like, it's really I feel like I could also easily cry. It's really crazy.
But it also probably didn't happen. How does someone get ripped limb from limb, their intestines ripped out, and their stomach lining?
Wait, do you think it didn't happen?
Patrick.
I'm such a dummy. I totally bought it. I totally fell for it.
Go back and listen to the description again. She's like a Walking Dead extra, according to her. She literally says limb from limbs. How do you rip your stomach open and pull someone's intestines out and their uterine lining, and then this other dog named fucking Booger saves her life from the mastiff who went crazy. So Booger saves her life, pulls the mastiff off of Joyce.
She literally says it was a fight to the death.
It was a fight to the death. But then she also says before that the dog's brain exploded from the poison. So Joyce, which is it? Like, nothing makes any sense. And the reason I could talk about it without crying is because I know that's not what happened to the goddamn dog. God.
The night that this big mastiff attacked me, the guard dog, I got next door to where Booger was. I said, help me, Booger. And Booger shot out, and he jumped on that other dog and pulled it off of me. It was a fight to the death. And I thought, poor little Booger, he's going to give himself in a Christ-like love for me. When I came home from the hospital, he sat on the bed beside me, and we healed together, and we formed a bond, a friendship.
I don't know if Booger was... I don't know. His name is Booger. I'm sorry, Booger. I love you. All dogs... Sometimes great dogs happen to insane people. I don't know what to tell you. So then it's like an hour... We're still talking about these dead dogs. It's like an hour in. So then I'm like, why are we focusing on the dogs? Oh, because she wants to clone the fucking dog.
So the dog dies, and she decides that she's going to have the dog cloned.
And I'd had such a sad life, you know, with all the tablet mints. And I thought, I just want the hurt to stop, and I can't do without him. Then I heard about cloning. You know, I thought, well, I'll just give it a stab.
So she, now, she...
Not gets, before she does a racist impression of the guy.
I was just going to say, she gets super racist, and without even knowing it, she does, like, she finds this Korean doctor. She talks in his voice, which we're not going to play in that.
His name is Jin Han Hong, PhD.
And when she says his name, it's like, you can't understand it. She does an impersonation of him, whatever. She gets in touch with him. He's like, I can clone your dog. Yeah, and it's crazy. They, like, actually clone this dog, and there's, like, six of them or something.
Right.
But what happens is, all of a sudden, Joyce is back in the spotlight.
Oh my God, shocking.
It was in all the papers. Dog cloning girl turns out to be the Joyce McKinney, because she pretended it wasn't her to start with. She called herself Brennan McKinney, something like Brennan, was it?
Berman McKinney or something like that. I forget what name she used. And I knew right away it was Joyce.
Why?
Well, I think there was a photograph and she hadn't changed that much.
So basically it ends with Joyce, like, saying that she loves dogs because they don't judge her and they don't read the tabloids, which is like heartbreakingly accurate. But Joyce, you did this to yourself. And then she just basically, like, it ends with this old footage of her from the 70s reading excerpt from the book that doesn't exist, but in the third person. And she's like, Joyce decided to never find love again. Joyce will die old and alone. And you're like, you're 32 years old. This was 1978. What are you doing?
Time changes, but the scene is still the same. Joyce is now a lonely old woman. Like Narcissus, she is pining to death, dying of a broken heart.
Girl!
Oh my God, that was amazing.
You're still here!
Yeah, duh. I'm here for all the TCO content.
I am obsessed with this episode. I'm obsessed with you.
I love you. And I love Jillian. I'm sorry she couldn't be here.
I know. Jillian is sick. As a podcaster, losing your voice, it is the goddamn worst thing.
I can't. Well, yeah, I forgot that it's like our livelihood, and I get nervous. Like, I can't tell you how many episodes I've done sick, and I just apologize profusely. I know. Like, I'm so sorry.
I still can't believe I'm listening to my bedroom. Do you think Israel Keyes killed Maura Murray?
I think it's possible. Okay, so here's the thing. It's like, I don't wildly speculate. I'm like, I need to look at the facts and his travel log. Like, I don't know.
Murder kits, girl, murder kits.
He had murder kits. So since I'm sitting in for Jillian, I'm going to actually garbage bell you. Oh my God, I wanted to do that my whole life. Wait, hang on, one more. You told me that you thought Israel Keyes was attractive in another life. That is an exact quote.
I think I actually said Israel Keyes is hot. Mm-hmm. He's totally my type. Mm-hmm. He's garbage. But like, yeah, like I would have fallen for it. And like in another life, because my super hot husband is my business manager, I think that he would be our business manager.
I know, and I said you would be an episode on our show.
I know, which I was like, oh, worth it. I love you. Thank you for joining us.
I love you guys. I hope you loved this episode.
Next week, you guys, we're covering that Flat Earth documentary Behind the Curve on Netflix. And coming up, stay tuned for the episode outtakes. Girl, will you come back and do like a full Patreon interview with us at some point?
1,000%.
I'm obsessed with you.
Love you.
I love you too. Bye, you guys. Bye.
I started that dating late in life.
Oh my God, I know.
She has a 168 IQ, girl. She hadn't seen the world much and then she went to Utah. Like, it's just, we just gotta start. I'll start a sentence and then go with it, maybe.
These cups have water in them, I swear to God.
I wish they didn't, but they do.
Like one of those like tabloid reporters from London, Peter Tory.
It's the Daily Express.
No relation to Roma Tory, by the way, which is a big disappointment to me. Roma Tory, whatever. I'm not getting into that again.
No. I love the part about getting my own planet.
Oh my God. I know.
Anyway.
I want my own planet with Daisy. I've decided.
You're getting one.
When I die, but I'm not a Mormon.
It's okay.
I can still have one?
Sure.
Just because you said so? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to Mormon heaven and be like, Jillian Benzavali sent me.
You're going
to
get the celestial kingdom and say, I want my own planet and I want it now. You guys don't know the work I've done for Broadway. You owe me for all the help I did on Book of Mormon. Whatever. Just say that. It's fine.
Kelly, will you give me a note or something?
Yeah, no, I'll write you a note. Absolutely. Garbage person. Oh, ooh, that was... I harmonized much better at the top of the episode. And she's like, that's where I'm writing my book, and there's my father napping. And then she's talking about, like... And then she's like, and this shot shows absolutely nothing. And you're like, great. Monster, garbage. And doing random shit. She just had these two men who were like pawing at her and like drooling over her. Just like
story
do everything for her.
Of my life.
Girl, I know. I just want to live.
I know.
God, it's like.
Let me live. God damn it.
It's so hard. Garbage. We need a button where it's just like, bing, garbage.
We need to get a bell.
We need a bell.
Oh my God,
we need,
we're getting
like,
a garbage bell.
Effect.
We're getting a garbage bell.
Because I can't just bang. I can't. That's not going to work.
Hello, would you like to change religions? I have a free book written by Jesus.
No, no, Elder Cunningham. That's not how we do it. You're making things up again. Just stick to the approved dialogue. Elder, show it.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is
Elder Cunningham.
And we would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ.
Hello.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.